It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today, a legendary, pioneering artist joining us, Sergio Mendes. He helped to bring Brazilian music to the world. He's tonight and tomorrow at the Blue Note, 6:30 and 9 each night. We are so lucky to get to speak with him right now. Aloha, Sergio. Welcome. Thanks for doing this, man.
Aloha. My pleasure talking to you.
This is not sent to me as a complete list, but I have this guy, Steve, the mystery emailer, and whenever anybody's coming to town, Sergio, he kind of just sends cool historic stuff, like March 23rd and 24th, 1968. Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66, who were making their Hawaii debut, performed for two sold-out nights at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. One of the lead singers in his band was Lonnie Hall, now Mrs. Herb Alpert. Opening act, the former Kingston Trio member John Stewart and his singing partner Buffy Ford. Ticket prices, can you believe this? You can't even get parking for this anymore. Ticket prices were $5, $4, and $3.
Well, that's why I'm still broke.
That's why you're still broke, huh?
That's interesting. Great.
Sometimes people can remember. Here's another one that you did, and this is the only other one that I got. Again, it's not like a complete list. August 3rd, 1969, Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66 returned to Hawaii, this time a sold-out crowd at the Blaisdell Arena. And also on that night were a South American group named Bossa Rio and a comedian named Don Sherman. Ticket prices went up a little. Would you look at this? $5.75, $4.75, $3.75, but they were still getting folks in at $2.75.
Oh, that's great. I love that. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's crazy how things used to be. And that takes us back to you. You're growing up in Brazil. Obviously, prices probably a little more in line with those prices back then. Your pop was a physician, but dial in when and how music became such a force in your life that you went to enter a local music conservatory to become a classical pianist.
Right. I was 7 years old. My mom wants me to learn the piano, and I really enjoyed learning classical music and practicing and playing, and so that was the beginning. And then after that, when I started listening to jazz pianists like Art Tatum and Thelonious Monk and Horace Silver, that changed my mind, and I said, wow, I started listening to that kind of music. And then Bossa Nova started in Brazil, late 50s, and I was playing in clubs in Rio de Janeiro, and I was part of that movement, you know, Antonio Carlos Jobim being the most important of all of them and our greatest songwriter. And then in 62, there was a Bossa Nova concert at Carnegie Hall. First time I came to the United States, we played there with Jobim and João Gilberto, Stan Getz, Dizzy Gillespie, and that was my first time here. Then I went back to Brazil and came back to L.A. in 1965. Then we started auditioning for record companies and met Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss, A&M. They were just starting the company, and they signed me to A&M, and that was the beginning of my career here.
Dialing back into some of the little chestnuts that you were going over, you were backing some U.S. jazz musicians when they would play in Brazil too, huh? That was another way that you got some great early experience.
Right, that's right. A lot of jazz guys went to Brazil. They still do, you know, to travel. So a lot of them stopped by this club in Rio where I was playing, and it was great to meet them, you know. I never thought one day I would be here and having a career in the United States.
That first time that you got to New York, your very first trip ever to America was going to be for a gig at Carnegie Hall.
Wasn't that amazing? Yeah, it was great. I mean, I knew about it because that was the celebration of the Bossa Nova thing. And because of that, I went to Birdland. I met Cannonball Adderley, and he invited me to make a record with him.
All on a first trip to the country is a little bit overwhelming to believe. So you guys end up signed to A&M with Jerry Moss and Herb Alpert. Prior to that, though, you had worked at Atlantic with Ahmet Ertegun. Is there some experience with him that sticks out?
Oh, wonderful. Actually, it was Nessui Ertegun, his older brother, that was... Nessui came to Brazil to make a record with Herbie Mann, and I met him. I was playing a little club in Rio, and he invited me to play on the album, and he said, you know, if you ever come to New York, I want you to make records for me. And that was Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Nessui was a dear friend and a great mentor for me, not only music, but art, and he was an amazing, incredible music person, and I was very fortunate to have met and worked for him. So I did a few albums for Atlantic Records.
So it was more with his brother than with Ahmet.
Yeah, with Mom. Of course, I knew Ahmet. Ahmet was there, you know, but Nesui was the jazz guy. Ahmet was more of the rock and roll guy, if I can put it this way.
You can. I love that. It's a great way of differentiating the two. Sometimes when I'm talking to people, they have experience of getting to play at the White House, and often it's in either the Obama era, and it can be some older bands, but you performed at the White House.
Was for Richard Nixon, was the visit of the Spanish King Juan Carlos, and then I played for Reagan, visit of the Brazilian president. So we played twice at the White House. I wish I had played for Obama, that I loved.
One of the things that makes you special in talking to you, you know, obviously that Timeless record has a lot of collaborations, but your life has had these collaborations all the way going back, as you were talking about Herb. One of the cats I've never heard you talk about was what led to The Real Thing, Stevie Wonder's song, really beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, Stevie, what happened is Steve loved Brazilian music, and I got a call from him one day saying that he would like to sing in Portuguese, one of the songs that he wrote. And I wrote some Portuguese words for him, and he sang in Portuguese, of course, and we became very good friends. And then he wrote for me this song, The Real Thing. He is one of the most amazing musicians. And
when you're doing The Real Thing, he just writes it and hands it off to you, or was he there in the studio?
No, we're in the studio together. He was playing clavinet, and I was playing piano.
Recorded at the same time?
Recorded at the same time, and it was a wonderful experience. And then on the album Timeless, he came again, and he was around at the same studio, and he brought his harmonica and put a solo on one of the songs. Yeah, Steve is a genius. One of a few.
In that same era, when you were getting put out on the road, that was probably some more experimental packages than today. Again, it's Sergio Mendez. He's coming on his own gig at the Blue Note tonight and tomorrow, 6:30 and 9 o'clock shows each night. Anything that sticks out in your mind like, wow, these were some strange bills I got to do with so-and-so?
That's an interesting question. We opened the show with Brazil 66 for the Smothers Brothers. Now figure this one out, which was wonderful. So the idea of having comedians and then us as music was in Washington, D.C., at the Carter Baron, 66. It was very important to me. I did a couple of tours with Frank Sinatra twice in 68 and then in the 80s again all over Europe and the United States.
Was that something that when it got booked, were you excited?
Of course, yes. You kidding? Absolutely. And we're great friends, you know, until he passed.
Had those tours been when you began your friendship?
Yes, yes.
And when you think about this Timeless record, it was collaborations with people like John Legend. You were mentioning Stevie's on there, Erykah Badu, Black Eyed Peas.
Uh-huh.
What made you want to do that with so many of those modern hip-hop kind of guys?
You know, it was a very organic kind of thing. I met Will, and he asked me to play a song on the Black Eyed Peas album. And I said, we should do something together. And we became friends, and it all started like that. And he said, well, let's reinterpret some of your classics like Mashkinada and do it in a different way, you know. And we did that 40 years later. Then he brought in Justin and Erykah. It's a wonderful experience working with them.
As we wrap it up, final question. What's a dream collaboration, something you haven't done that you would still, you know?
Wow. From the top of my head, if I'll say right now, I would love to do something with McCartney, with Paul.
Had you never interacted with any of the Beatles?
Although he's, you know, he wrote me a letter thanking for my version of Fool on the Hill. And so, yeah, I would love to do something with him. He's a melody guy, and I think it would be great.
Sergio Mendez.
Yes.
And he's joining us here. We're so privileged. Tonight and tomorrow, 6:30 and 9 o'clock shows each night.
Really looking forward to be there. I love Hawaii.
Well.
You coming to the show?
Of course.
They give you a discount for $3?
1968 prices, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm giving you a hug, a high five.
Big hug to you, too.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. The sun going down and the
the sun.